Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Lisa and Jackie.
Hi, guys.
So today marks around 2.5 months since we all got locked down because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I don't know about you guys, but I have struggled through this period, and it's only just starting to now feel like I can manage my life.
Yes.
Three small kids, school age, kinder age has meant lots of extra challenges, as well as just the normal working from home and the fact that we don't really get to see our friends and family in person. But as restrictions have started to ease, I think it's just taken that edge off for now. We thought that it might be a nice time to reflect on some of the things that we've been doing, the ways that we've adapted our lives while we've been in isolation.
God, it's been boring, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've missed your face.
Oh, it's so hard to not see people, and I've missed you too, Lisa. I've discovered that I'm a real people person, which I knew before, but I much prefer to be in the company of adult humans than to spend my days with tiny little humans all day, every day. I mean, I love my kids, but it's been has its challenges, as it's had the challenges for them, I guess, as well. They've been in an adapting kind of phase too, haven't they?
Yeah. And they've done really well. Like, we have to give them credit. For little people, I feel like, well, in my family at least, there hasn't been the level of meltdown associated with lockdown that I thought there would be.
I mean, we've got some new addictions, like they're fully addicted to iPads and iPhones and stuff, but we're working our way on kind of, you know, dealing with that addiction and breaking it.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, you know, going into lockdown, I sort of thought it's going to give us such a nice opportunity to spend some time together as a family. We'll go for bushwalks and we'll be outside all the time, make the most of the warmer weather while we've still got it. And literally all my kids want to do is play devices all day long.
We have been doing some productive things. I mean, come on. We've been, you know, I feel like it's been quite productive in some of the areas of what I've been doing. I know you've been doing some cool stuff too, Lacey. So I've actually spent quite a lot of time out in the garden, just doing the jobs that I haven't been able to get to or haven't, you know, had the time and that sort of stuff, or haven't had the motivation. One of the things was my veggie garden. So I've sort of pulled out all the, you know, the end of season crops, and then I'm going again because I'm not that confident in growing veggies, but I'm trying to get better at it. So I've spent a bit of time doing that, and at the moment I've got heaps of veggies in there that are mainly from either seeds, that packets of seeds that I've had. I haven't bought any kind of, you know, things to plant, any seedlings or anything, just seeds that I've had or sowed from the previous year. I've got like a whole row of like spring onions that that I've just sprung up, chopped the bottoms of the spring onions off and then put them into the straight into the veggie garden. Bok choys as well. Lots of bok choy. And they're just from cuttings. Pumpkin. Pumpkin I've grew from a seed that I got from an organic pumpkin. Sort of dried them out, planted them and just thought, I'll just see what happens. I got two sprouted.
That's
cool. It's cool, isn't it? Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, it's quite exciting and stuff. And I've got, got lettuce and radishes and leek and chilies and a whole lot of stuff that's just in my sort of smallish kind of veggie garden. And my husband put up a really good kind of screen, like a net, like that's so much better than what we've had for the past 8 years. But it just makes it easier to work in there, and keeps all of the like caterpillars and stuff away at the moment anyway. So
great. Well done, Scotty.
Good job.
Good job.
Finally.
That seed thing reminds me of the, you know, those sometimes on Facebook or whatever, you might get like links to those 5 minute crafts or 5 minute hack videos. I remember seeing one of those about all the different ways that you can make your own seedlings or grow your own veggies based off seeds and vegetable remnants from your meals. And that there was a whole one on like different ways to dry out and sow seeds and get new plants growing. It was fascinating. I might have to go and look it up again and get
me inspired. Surely Pinterest or something would have
to do that.
Would have that. Something like that.
Yeah, pin, for sure.
Pin ink. Then I also worked on the chicken coop. So we had a bit of a makeshift fence. And then Scotty again built a better one. So it's it's a really solid structure now. So they have like a really good run that they can they can't jump over and get out of, which is awesome. So they just come out when we let them out. That's kind of a nice, neat, neatened off kind of little project too. You had something happen with your chickens, didn't you, Lisa? Do you want to share your story?
Yeah, look, I did. So some very, very sad news was that about a month ago now, I think it was, I forgot to lock my chickens up one night. And look, I've done that before and we've been lucky, but this night, not so lucky, and Mr. Fox came and took all of them. Thankfully, he took them away and all that was left were feathers. Mm. But that was very, very devastating for me because some of those silkies we'd had since, they were just baby chicks. So it was very sad to lose them. They all had names, of course, and it made me angry at myself, but it also meant that action was required. So Kane, my husband, really looked after me and listened to my pleas to improve our chicken coop. It was a little bit small, and that's why I always let them out every day. But because our property's kind of multi-layered and where the chook pen is, I can't see it from the house. So I was hesitant to kind of let them out every day because I can't see what's going on with them. Anyway, he built me an excellent extension. It's massive. And we've hooked up proper water supply and we put in a chookateria. So now the miners can't fly in through the gaps and eat all the chook food. So I'm feeling so happy with my chook pen. And we went and got 6 new chickens about a week ago.
Nice.
So go down and spend some time with them and waiting for them to start laying, which will be
mine. I've only got one that's laying and it's only just started laying in the last week out of my 4. They've mainly been freeloaders.
It's frustrating, isn't it? But I think it's normal at this time of year.
Yeah. But
you'll get there. You'll get there personally.
And I've got one that likes to attack us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Scary choice. Scary. The veggie patch is it's our next project as a family. So we've got to contend with design issues because I just want to get some seedlings in the ground. But my husband is putting it near his basketball shooting area and so wants it to be basketball themed.
Oh.
Kill me now.
But so there's going to be a couple of balls.
No, he wants to get his friend who's a laser cutter to build it out of steel and then laser cut the Jordan Jumpman symbol into it. He's crazy, Jackie. But you know what? If I let him go, it'll get done. Whereas if I fight him on design, he just won't do it. So I'm just going to let him run with it. It's going to be Jordan-themed veggie patch.
If you're into that sort of thing. Yeah. Anyway, right. We're happy. We're happy. That's what happens when golf gets yeah. cancelled.
Yeah.
Hey.
Anyway, we digress.
We do digress.
What about Netflix? What have you been watching?
So, well, not necessarily Netflix, but I downloaded the Biggest Little Farm movie, which I told you.
Yes, you have to watch. I have seen this also. It's amazing.
So I think you can get it from Apple TV. I think we bought it. It was like $6 or something, or $4 to hire.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I hired it for $5 off Google Play.
Yeah. So worth every cent, I think. Just to put it into a bit of context, it's an 8-year quest of this young couple to build a farm that produces produce all year round. So it's very self-sustaining, a regenerative farm, I guess. So they're not putting any chemicals into it. The animals working with the land, the land working with the animals, and just really interesting to see how they navigate some of the hurdles that they come up with.
Yeah, and it's beautifully filmed, beautiful. Really beautiful story that's woven amongst really stunning imagery and a really nice theme that, yeah, runs throughout.
Yeah.
It's got characters and it's got highs and lows. And
yeah.
I ended up watching it twice, invited the kids to come and watch it with me the second time. And my son Chase sat next to me on the couch and said, "Oh, Mum, I honestly think that after watching this show, my life is going to be changed." Which was so beautiful to hear that he was really taking some of the messages about, you know, the way that humans just go in and intervene and interrupt cycles that can happen really efficiently in nature.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's a deep thinker, that one. But it was a beautiful experience to share with him. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's definitely one that you can watch with kids, you know, like, and I think it's important for the kids to understand, yeah, like that, you know, there are coyotes and, you know, like my kids know that they have to protect the chickens, and that's why we lock them up at night, because of foxes. Your kids obviously know that too, Lisa.
They do now.
You know, so it's just an amazing, the way that it's filmed and it's put together, it just really kind of, well, it's just really re-inspired me to kind of create more of a food forest and keep planting and, you know, stuff in my garden. But then it does just think, it does make me think how I might put things, you know, we've got like possums that, you know, how do I deter them in a more natural kind of way in order to have the growth of the other things? And yeah, it's just quite interesting to think that about the balance. There's balance that's required, and a lot of the time humans go in and change that balance, and that's what then can upset a lot more things than just that one thing that they were changing.
It actually got me thinking further so much about those kinds of themes that I decided to enroll in just a really introductory lesson webinar on permaculture. And I just wanted to explore some of the ideas that are floating around, because I don't really understand permaculture and what it is. And I feel like it's, in my mind, it's so complicated. And it really is quite complicated in how complex it is. But the principle is quite simple, is that like using nature to create closed loop cycles of just growing and giving back. Yeah, that was a really interesting thing, an hour to spend my time. And one of the main takeaways I got from that webinar was that there's a pyramid of things that you should do. And it sort of starts with the first thing that you should do if you're interested in permaculture or creating some sort of like regenerative space on your property, that you should start with the garden, because it's the easiest and cheapest thing that you can do, is make some changes in your garden. And he gave some really interesting tips about that, which we might discuss in a future podcast. And from your garden, then you can look towards adding animals into the mix. We already have chickens, but he talked a lot about how beneficial chickens can be for this process. And then once you've kind of got that mix going, looking at energy collection and the way you store and produce power, and then looking at retrofitting structures, or, you know, changing the way that your house performs, and then looking out beyond your home and property into the wildlands. Yeah. I thought that was a really nice, simple way of thinking about it.
I did it. I listened to a couple of webinars that my local council put out as well. And one was around natural habitat. So like as if you wanted to get sort of native birds to come into your, you know, area, what sort of area, what sort of things you need to create, and talked a bit about pests and stuff like that as well. So like possums is a big one. Just interesting little sort of tips. I mean, we're kind of, because of COVID, like I would never have listened to that, but because it's offered in a different platform where I can just listen to it, you know, while I'm getting ready or in the morning or, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, you got sort of, I feel like you've got more scope to sort of dive into that sort of stuff that you may never
have definitely
before.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We've got more time for those kinds of things. The rush isn't always so in your face, you know. Like for me personally, I'm not running to basketball training and gymnastics and all the extracurricular things with the kids. Yeah. So it allows more time. Plus you're at home, so you can access it 24/7 usually.
And it's quite good to just put some headphones on and then you just block the noise of the kids out with someone else talking.
Oh, fantastic.
So yeah, maybe check out your local councils, what they're offering. Sign up to their sustainability newsletter. A lot of them have like those like departments. So, you know, you might want to check that out and then see, because it came to me via a newsletter. And then there was also one that was just the other night around energy efficient homes. So I actually haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, but I'm really keen to, because that's obviously one of my passions, to create more of an energy efficient household. Even though it's probably quite good, I always think there's probably room for improvement on that sort of stuff. So, you know, local councils are really offering these sort of programs for, and they're for free, so, or very minimal kind of cost anyway. I also was forwarded on, or someone tagged me on under Facebook or something, that's called The Story of Plastics, and it talks, so it's a little short film. It might only go for an hour maybe. It's pretty confronting, but you know, we've all seen those images of like plastic floating in the ocean and them ending up on beaches and, you know, big landfill piles that are just big piles of plastic, that sort of stuff. But there was lots of images there, and they did talk about this as well. Their quote is, avoiding plastic is a great place to start, but it's a terrible place to stop. And saying that just by saying, well, I avoid plastic, so it's, you know, it's not my problem. It's, which is probably where I kind of feel a little bit like I kind of, you know, I don't try not to use much plastic, quite conscious about that sort of stuff, but it certainly does slip back in. And so it's really quite a conscious effort I sometimes feel I have to make. But they also talk about, it talks about who actually creates these plastic products. So, you know, you've got your big companies that are the ones that create it, and they're the oil and gas companies basically, and how they're not really taking responsibility for these single use items that they create. They don't sort of care what happens to it once it's been used. And, you know, they just show how if there's in a country where they're meant to pay a plastics tax, they'll put the symbol on and pay the plastics tax. But if it's in a country where they don't have to, you know, it could be the same product, but it could be actually more plastic. It's packaged in way more plastic. And then that has actually no opportunity to be recycled the way that it's been made, particularly stuff that's got paper and plastic and foil and, you know, layers of stuff. It can't even be burnt. And then again, by burning things, that creates a whole another element of problems, you know, particularly with human health. So it's just one of those things that, like, just really highlighted that maybe I need to start looking a bit more into policy stuff or having more conversations.
Yeah, it sort of talks to those themes of like individual actions versus consumer actions versus community and then citizen actions, which is what climate for change conversations kind of discuss. And it's like around that theme of we can do all of the things, you know, as an individual that we can, but even if everybody in the whole wide world you know, did all of those really good things and stopped using plastic and minimized packaging and that kind of thing, it wouldn't change until governments have to set up the systems properly so that these things don't even aren't even in the equation, or they're so heavily regulated that it becomes profitable for businesses to look at alternatives and renewable and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But it really got me thinking a bit more of, like, you know, particularly with COVID, I mean, you're seeing everybody with single use, lots of single use stuff. You know, people are saying that they won't accept reusable cups. You know, so, and for me, it's...
Yeah, it's been really hard for me with that.
Really hard. Like, so...
Go.
So for me, I'm pretty much not, like, I try not to have a coffee. If they won't accept my reusable cup, I just say, oh, I'm okay. There might have been once or twice I've done it, and I think we went for a walk later with a group of friends, and they all got coffee, and I said, I'm all okay with this, but can I all ask you to take your tops off? Go topless. What did I say?
Yeah.
Go topless. So you've got your cup.
Yeah. Topless.
But you don't need the plastic lid on top of it to add to the, you know, to add insult to injury, basically. That's how I felt.
Yeah. You just have to do what you can, don't you? Like, I mean, there's not a lot you can do if your cafe is not going to accept your cup. Some of them I find really apologetic about it all, and then others are just like, yep, nah, not collecting or not using them at the moment. It's single use only. And it's like, oh, it kills me. And then you can tell there are some cafe owners that are like, oh, we're just not allowed to accept them right now. It's made me aware of the cafes that I'd like to continue visiting after this.
Yeah, I've got I go to three different ones, one near work, two near home. They've all been fine with my reusable, even my containers, still my butcher's fine.
They must be rebels, Jackie, rebels.
Like real rule breakers. You know, and it just, one of the stats that really blew me actually was in that movie was that, say, that a big oil company will say, like, we're committing, you know, $1.2 billion into an environmental, you know, study or program to assist with the cleanup of our oceans or, you know, whatever. But then that one company alone actually has a $3 billion profit every year.
Completely. Yeah. It's the minimal thing that they have to do
just to
be able to say it. But, you know, as consumers, we do have to educate ourselves on these kinds of things. Like, we do need to say, okay, well, then I'm going to look at an alternative of where I'm going to spend my money, because if you're just going to offer a tokenistic gesture, then there are other companies that are going out of their way to create products that will minimize waste or to operate in a way that is going to be as sustainable as possible.
Mm.
So it is everybody's responsibility to support those companies so that they can, you know, outgrow the others.
Yeah.
The old fossils.
Yeah. Anything else you've been watching? Been listening to some things?
Yeah, I've been listening to a few podcasts. Actually, the Joe Rogan podcast sometimes is interesting.
Mm.
And he recently interviewed Joe Salatin, I think,
who's a
regenerative farmer. I haven't quite finished it yet, but he discusses the benefits of having more traditional farming methods where you're mixing your crops and you're mixing your different animals and to the benefit of everybody, including the consumer.
Mm.
But that the answer for the future is, especially with all of the toxins and the pathogens that are bred in these big factory farms, like where they're not, you know, these animals are outside of their natural habitat. There's chickens in a cage that, you know, are eating from a space where they're pooing, and how these workers can't even breathe. So they've had to put, you know, exhaust fans in rather than just allowing nature to take care of all of those germs and stuff in the atmosphere. So it was a super interesting chat.
Yeah, he's awesome. He did a movie. A film that I saw through Suburban Sandcastles. Polyface Farm. So it talks about him and, his style of farming and how you'll see that all around him, like he's got a farm that's very active and, you know, like you can see he moves the crops around. It's very similar to Taranaki Farm, who's based out in Woodend. Joel Salatin has done some work with them. Ben, Farmer Ben. Yep, there. But Polyface Farm is a really good film just to get your idea, like to get an understanding of that regenerative sort of farming as well. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, awesome.
It's really cool.
Cool.
I listened to an Audible book called My Year of Less by Kat Flanders. She started this journey saying she's going to not buy anything for, say, 12 months or whatever. She had some rules around it of what she could buy and what she couldn't buy. And then it was more around sort of a consumerism, you know, kind of things. She started it because she had quite a huge huge credit card debt, and she kind of realized, I can't keep going like this, you know, like, so she sort of said, right, I'm just going to stop my spending and this is all I'm allowed to spend on. What kind of started off was to kind of clear her debt. What she actually realized, she does this sort of journey of realized that she doesn't need, you don't need all those things, you know, like, and the more I listened to it, the more that as well I was kind of like, oh, I feel like I've done a little bit of that work of, you know, like where I don't really try not to buy anything brand new. But then how does that make you feel? How does people's perception on that? Like she goes through all that sort of stuff. I just found it really interesting to listen to.
Cool. Sounds good.
Are you reading anything, Lisa? Thought we could do the theme of listening, watching, reading.
I'm not reading anything that's like environment related. I'm reading an awesome Jack Reacher novel at the moment.
Do you find it hard sometimes for you that you work in the climate change, climate industry? And
yeah, look, sometimes I log off at the end of the day and I don't really want to think about the environment anymore. I will give you that. I mean, there's so many different facets to what we do and what the environment and sustainability sector does. So a lot of my work with Climate for Change isn't content-based, so I'm not immersing myself in horrible imagery or facts every day. Mm. And a lot of the stuff that I'm working on is positive towards, you know, building change and that kind of thing. And so it can be quite energizing to work in that sector. Mm. But, you know, definitely at the end of the night, I prefer to just chill out with some mindless Netflix viewing and a book that's unrelated.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like to just flick through those kind of books and just read a section that I want to want. So some of the ones that I kind of always turn to is that there's the Waste Not book by Erin Rhodes. And that's more just like she talks about products and things that you can maybe change in your home or what you can reuse things for. I've got little recipes in there. So sometimes when I'm kind of thinking of something, I'm like, oh, I wonder what that's like. Or has she got something there that I can kind of, you know, because I'm a bit of a, you know, DIYer. And then on the DIY stuff, I got gifted a beautiful book as well called Naturally Inspired. And that's all about DIY kind of stuff. It can be from, you know, making jarring, pickling, to making your own like skincare, conditioners, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I've started probably for the last 3 months, I've started making my own skincare. So just to try and limit all the products that I have in my bathroom cabinet. Like I just laugh. I look at Scott's and he's got like hardly anything. And then I look at mine and I'm like, why do I need so much stuff? Like we have the same skin.
Yeah.
Why do we need, I mean, I'm much prettier than him, but like, why do we need that same, you know, like it just, I want to get to the point where I've got as like the least, like I've got the least amount of stuff in that drawer or at least the same as what he's got. So, I've just been making my own skincare with some essential oils and I've realized and maybe it kind of marries beautifully into that, looking at reading that, listening to that book, My Year of Less, is all that stuff you don't need, you know, but I can't throw it out. I have to work my way through it because that's too wasteful for me. I have to work my way through
it. Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's just like a work in progress then, isn't it? Like as you finish something, you realize I don't need to buy another one of those. Mm. I'm just going to replace that with something I made.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been kind of good, and I've had lots of comments about my skin, so it obviously is not doing any harm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I really admire that about you. It's just like picking up something and going, what next? What else can I do? What else?
Just chipping away at. I definitely know that beauty product stuff and makeup and that is my next thing. But when I look at the drawers, I'm like, why do I need three backup ready-to-go foundations?
Yeah.
Like, so I hope that this has been helpful to our listeners. I mean, I always like when we get together, we sort of do have that conversation. If you listen to this, if you watch that, and I sort of thought that's where I was talking to you, sort of saying, do you think that people would enjoy hearing that from us? And so we might come back and do this again once we've watched and listened and read a few more things.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we look forward to being back in a fortnight with another episode, and hopefully that will also help you to become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie and produced by Fran from 17th Street Audio. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you're listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.
Talk about the Greens, that bunny, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
Yeah. It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.